Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Well, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. You may ask yourself, well, Mark, what are you doing here? I thought your show is normally on Mondays and Wednesdays. And that's true. In fact, before getting elected, it used to be every day of the week. and then I narrowed it down to Monday and Wednesday. But due to a grueling schedule, including the fact that on Wednesday I was in Richmond trying to help Democrats in Virginia get elected to the House of Delegates across the Commonwealth, that's why I wasn't in Wednesday. And I wasn't in Monday because, well, I took time out to watch an eclipse. I don't know if any of you did that. It was magical. Sorry for all those who missed it. And yes, before I went to see the eclipse in my original hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, my birthplace where I grew up, where my parents still live, I'd never seen an eclipse before in my life. I'd seen some lunar eclipses, and I read that, it's a partial eclipse. That's only, you know, you get 99% coverage, that it's still worth it to go to totality. And I remember being a little skeptical. Is there really that much difference between 99% and 100%? And lo and behold, there was. As one commentator wrote, it's like night and day. And indeed it is, because you get to take off your special protective sunglasses that protect you from the sun rays. And when the moon is fully blocking the sun, you can remove the sunglasses. And behold, it is an image like I've never seen before, stuck in my brain. Well worth it. Really, really wonderful. And no camera I have seen anywhere in the country has managed to capture what I saw with my own eyes. So Monday was a beautiful day. It was a great excuse for me not to be on the radio. It was well worth it. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, although I'm thinking of going back in 7 years. But one of the most wonderful things about the eclipse was, for one shining moment, for a few hours, it seems everyone in America could turn their heads away from the stinking trash fire that is, well, the administration of the current president of the United States, and focus on something wonderful, something natural, something glorious, something entirely unlike our everyday lives, where we have a president who's courting neo-Nazis and seems to do whatever he can to help white supremacists and is being cute as he attacks immigrants and transgendered people and women and, well, just about everybody. And I was thinking, as I was joyously watching the eclipse, and it was beautiful, and I was with my family, and if you did get to see it, you know what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, hey, 2024, 7 years from now, I may just go watch again. But I was thinking about how exhausting Donald Trump and his ilk are. I mean, if there's five stages, they say, of dealing with a difficult situation, first was denial. Sometimes I think I never left denial. Then there's bargaining. You know, would he maybe leave it all on the campaign trail and once he became president, become a different person? You know, that's out the window. There's anger. I remember I'm constantly angry. So I guess I haven't gone through any of these stages. Sadness, depression for our country, for what we've lost, for the fact that we're a laughingstock in the world, for the fact that we're no longer the leader of the free world, for the fact that the world looks upon us with a mixture of pity and, mockery. And acceptance, God knows I'm never going to accept it. I think there's a sixth phase, the phase of exhaustion. I'm exhausted. No, I don't necessarily mean physically exhausted, though I do keep a demanding schedule. I mean I'm emotionally exhausted, spiritually exhausted, politically exhausted. And there's no time. There's no time to be exhausted. In Virginia, we have an election in just 2 months. 2 months and a week or two. The entire Commonwealth of Virginia is going to the polls to determine our governor, our lieutenant governor, our attorney general, all 100 seats in the House of Delegates, to tell the United States of America how we feel about Donald Trump. And we're exhausted. I know it's not just me. It's everyone I talk to. It's my constituents. It's people who call on the radio show. It gets to a point where so many bad things are happening. We get exhausted. Just what, yesterday, CNN found an email of the Donald Trump campaign wanting to talk personally with Vladimir Putin. And it was like, oh, yeah, more treason. Yeah, well, that's what this president does. He commits treason. Yeah, he likes Nazis. He's fine with Vladimir Putin. He commits treason. What's going on in sports? And I think back to the first Nazis. And I think back to the Nazi propagandist, Joseph Goebbels, talking about the big lie. Or frankly, Adolf Hitler himself talking about the big lie. I've written about this. I'll send a link to it's an op-ed I wrote for actually a Christian social justice magazine called In Defense of Truth. But in there, I actually quote Adolf Hitler, who proudly proclaims that if you give a little lie, if you make a little error, people will be all over you, right? She used a private server for her emails. It was a mistake, a relatively small mistake, and boom, repeated 1,000 times, it's magnified to become the greatest crime since, I don't know what, O.J. Simpson? But if you create a big lie, if you do a big crime, if you do horrible things day after day after day, if you physically assault women and you try to kick out all the good immigrants who are working so hard in America, and you try to get rid of transgendered people in the military who you promised you wouldn't harm, and you promised to shut down the government if they don't give you a wall that you had earlier promised Mexico would pay for and broke on that promise, and you're trying to take health care away from tens of millions of Americans, literally killing tens of thousands of Americans. And you've committed treason, and you've given secrets to our biggest enemies, and you can't seem to find yourself to denounce neo-Nazis, and when you do, you complain that someone made you do it, and you fire a whole bunch of people and hire new people who are terrible, and I haven't even gotten to climate change or attacks on Planned Parenthood or just the fact that we have an ignoramic, narcissistic maniac in the White House. And it's tiring. It's tiring. You want to know why he's getting away with all this? One of the people who writes on Facebook says, well, you know, I can't understand how he's getting away with this. I'll tell you how. Joseph Goebbels told us how. Adolf Hitler told us how. If you kill someone, if you murder someone, that's a horrible thing and they're going to get you. If you murder 10 people, you're a serial killer. You murder 100 people, people start scratching their heads. You murder millions of people, it's a statistic, folks. It's a horrible statistic. There aren't enough names. What's going on in Syria, right? Russia and Assad, they're murdering hundreds of thousands of people, and one child who's shell-shocked, covered in dust in a chair, gets more attention, and good for that child. But that child gets more attention than the hundreds of thousands of innocent women and children and men murdered just for existing. in the greatest genocide going on in our time that gets no time? Well, Donald Trump, he doesn't do one thing wrong, or two, or 20, or 50, or he does thousands. He does them every hour. He does them every minute. And this is exactly what the Nazis told us they were going to do. There is outrage fatigue. There is no time to get upset about one thing before the next thing comes. We can't focus. We want to live our lives. We want to love our families. We've got work to do. We want to forget it all and enjoy a beautiful eclipse as I did. And that's completely understandable. And when you get tired, I'm sorry, but you lose. People talk this way all the time about fighting disease. I know it's true. When people I've cared for have died. The beginning of the disease, you're in denial. You're going to fight it every step of the way. You're going to try everything, use every drug. You're going to work to the max. You're going to help the person survive it. It's a big fight. And some of those fights you win. God bless all of us that win those fights. But some of those fights you lose. And people will tell you, people who are dying will tell you, people who are fighting for people who are dying will tell you, there comes a point where you give up. There comes a point in war where combatants say, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to die anyway. May I go peacefully and quick. And I fear that that's coming in politics. I do. I fear it. I fear that it is too much for our brains to handle. He is so terrible. The Republicans are so awful. They can't even. A few condemn him. A few say things. But as a whole, the party just lets it go. And for some, they're shocked. Wait, I thought the Republican Party was a respectable, patriotic party that put their country above their party. And I guess they weren't listening to what we progressive radio show hosts have been saying for the last 15 years. But they're not doing anything. And so you have to reach down deep in yourself. Reach down deep in your soul and find the will to fight. And some of my allies, some on the left, some progressives, are so busy fighting with other progressives. So busy using their energy in protests and not in getting the vote out, and not in making phone calls, not in making donations, not in walking the streets and canvassing for candidates right here in Virginia. And then you get tired. I went to the Women's March. I loved the Women's March. It was fantastic to know that millions of Americans all across the country were fighting against Donald Trump. But I'm sorry to ask, but what have you done lately? And I know I'm talking to people, some of whom work very, very hard, and thank you for all of those who've worked very hard, particularly in Virginia. But if all you do is attend protests, I get how that makes you feel good. But you haven't done enough, my friends. And yes, I'm making a plea for my home state. I'm making a plea for Virginia because we have an election coming up in 2017. That's right, in 2 months. We in New Jersey are the only states that are having elections, and we could use your help. I know you're exhausted. I get it. When we come back, I want to play a clip from Hillary Clinton's new book talking about kind of her exhaustion, how women are exhausted dealing with issues like sexual harassment. How do you fight that exhaustion? How do you fight back? How do you call out the creep that keeps attacking us? We'll get to that right after the break. 888-48-MARK if you want to call in. 888-488-6275. Back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Been talking about, well, the exhaustion of dealing with this president. I mean, it's only been, what, 6 months, 7 months? And it's going to be really hard to sustain this for 4 years. I was thinking about this exhaustion problem when I heard the audio from Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened. It's been played on several news channels. I want to play a clip for you from ABC News. Now, what this clip is talks about in the second debate, after Donald Trump had just, we just discovered that he'd sexually assaulted, I don't know how many women, lots of them, and bragged about it. And now he was walking around on stage looming behind Hillary Clinton. Well, let's hear how she describes it in her book.
This is not okay, I thought. It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled.
She writes she had a choice.
Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, "Back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up."
She chose to say nothing.
Maybe I have overlearned the lesson of staying calm, biting my tongue, digging my fingernails into a clenched fist, smiling all the while, determined to present a composed face to the world.
So what do you do? What do women do in this situation? What do we do about Donald Trump? I have long known and talked about and heard from survivors of domestic violence, survivors of sexual assault. If you haven't been to the Rally Against Rape in Arlington or any other similar type things where you hear from sexual assault, domestic violence survivors, you need to listen to them. Many of you know I have my own personal reasons for really caring about this cause. But one of the things that I've long learned, you can go back to the O.J. Simpson case, is that people who are victims of violence, particularly domestic violence, sexual violence, particularly women, rarely tell authorities about violence. And it's due for all kinds of things. And then you look at something like sexual harassment, where the majority of women say they've been sexually harassed in the workplace. And here's Hillary Clinton. And please don't make this about Hillary. She's making a larger point. Here she is trying to do her job. And Donald Trump is standing so close to her that he's literally breathing down her neck. What should she have said? Should she have turned around and said, "Back up, you creep"? Maybe not say the word creep. Back up. Give me some space. You won't intimidate me. I understand why it's easier not to speak out, but did she make the wrong decision? Do we make the wrong decision? Where do we go from here? Help me out. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Talking about, well, exhaustion. Talking about, I guess, why I and so many Americans so enjoyed the eclipse, not just because it was a really incredible, wonderful, miracle reminder of how small some of our troubles seem and the world that goes on without us, but also a needed break. Because Trump's exhausting. He's tiring us out. And it gets to a point, whether you're fighting death or fighting in a war or fighting for any cause, it comes to a point where people just give up. Where they say, you know what? It's too horrible. I can't face it. I can't look at it. It just keeps going on. And the will to fight gets sapped. And that's exactly what fascists talk about as their goal. It's what dictators' goals are. They want us to give up. They want us to get tired. They want us to throw our hands up and say that change is impossible. That's their goal. How do we fight it? Should Hillary Clinton have said, "Back up, you creep"? Would she have been, I can imagine all the Fox News, all the right wing. Can you imagine? Everyone would have been down her throat for that. And yet, I don't know. I like to think maybe America would have cheered. Let me go out to the lines and get your view. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's start with Susan in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, line 4. Hey, Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. What's your answer to the problem of exhaustion?
All right.
Turn down your radio, though. Turn down Facebook or whatever so that you don't hear a delay.
Okay. Does that sound good now?
Yes.
I'm good.
It's good. Go ahead.
I shut it off. So I have a list of things I don't do and I do to try to keep my sanity and not be exhausted. Two things that I don't do, I don't listen to Donald Trump. I don't need to know what he's saying. I know all I need to know. The second thing is, I don't watch the talking heads. It's exhausting to hear their analysis and their opinions. I just can't watch them anymore. What I do is I huddle with my indivisible group once every 6 weeks. We get together and we lay out game plans. We don't just complain. We lay out game plans to actually do something. And the two things that I enjoy doing the most, or I find the most relieving of my stress, is going to fundraisers and canvassing. Canvassing gives me a chance to do something for a couple hours a week where I make a small dent in what's happening, and to the good and to the positive. And it's a complete necessity. So I do it because I feel like I can contribute in some small way, and that helps me with the exhaustion.
Susan, thank you for calling in. I think you're a model citizen. I really do. And if you're in Virginia, there's thousands of ways to get involved in all kinds of local races, even if your own delegate isn't up for doesn't have an opponent. There are lots and lots of races all around Virginia where you can get involved. And there's certainly the governor's race, lieutenant governor, the attorney general's race. If you don't live in Virginia, and I know the vast majority of you who are listening to me don't live in Virginia, please come help us. I guarantee you we will help you and all across the nation in 2018. But right now, we in Virginia and in New Jersey as well, although I think Virginia is a purpler state. So if you really want to fight Donald Trump, come help us. Susan mentions canvassing. Most of you know canvassing is going door to door and persuading people to get out and vote. It's a very valuable thing. It's hard work. It's hot out there and it takes time, but it's actually very rewarding. You can canvass by phone. If you live in California and want to help us, if you live in Missouri or Maine or Florida or Idaho, wherever, New Mexico, Arizona, we can still use your help. There are ways to get involved. You can contact me. I'll get you somewhere, or you can contact any of the local Democratic parties in Virginia. Please come help. I think Susan's absolutely right. It's not just, well, for one thing, you're really doing good for your country. It's a great way to fight back, to not sit there and be angry. You know, stress can be directed inward or outward. And I think Susan's given us some great techniques for not directing them inward, but focusing outward on making a difference. Thank you so much for your call, Susan. Let me go to Reggie, line 3 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy Friday to you, Mark.
Happy Friday.
Well, you know, we can't obsess about him all the time. I mean, sometimes, you know, 50-50, but we can't obsess over him all the time. I mean, you know, people have lives to live, you know, bills to pay, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all that, so they can't obsess about him 24/7. But, you know, kids to raise and all that. And about Hillary Clinton, had she turned around and said what she would have done instead.
Back off, creep. You can intimidate. You can intimidate. You try to intimidate all kinds of women, but you can't intimidate me. I would have cheered, but I don't know if everyone would have.
Yeah, but like you said, said Fox News and conservative right wing hate talk, AM hate talk radio would have been obsessing about this all the time. You know, they always want to bring up our past or Democratic liberal progressives past, but when we turn it right back around on them, bring up their conservative right wing Republicans past, and they want to go psycho. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yet it's just there's too much. I mean, I haven't even mentioned Trump University defrauding all those people. I haven't even mentioned the nepotism and having all his kids there. I haven't even mentioned the fact that the Secret Service has run out of money because they're paying all of our taxpayer dollars, ostensibly to protect the president, to the president. He is pocketing it. And one thing, by the way, if you want to do something apart from helping us in Virginia nationwide, is I'm going to encourage everyone listening to my phone call to call your local senator, call your member of Congress, and tell them not to approve a dime more for the Secret Service until they, number one, account for every penny that they have paid to Donald Trump or members of his family or business he owns. I want to know, is it 1 million, 10 million, 100 million? I want to know. And two, say that no money should be expended to pay for the president's protection that goes to the financial benefit of the president. If the president wants protection, he should have it. Every president should have security. Correct. He should not be able to charge the American people for his own security when he profits from it. You want to charge to protect you in some hotel that you don't own? Fine. But right. You want to charge the American people, he's pocketing the money. Donald Trump is making money, not just because he gets to go on the vacation, but he gets paid to go on that vacation. He gets paid from his hotels. I mean, the Democrats could filibuster this. That's important. So this is something we can actually stop if Democrats, the 48 Democrats in the Senate, stand together and say, no money for the Secret Service until they account for all monies passed, spent, to Trump. I don't care about monies they spend to anyone else. That's normal security. That's normal. But if they pay Donald Trump or his family or his businesses money to defend him, we need to, number one, know about it, and number two, prevent it from happening again. And I just don't see Republicans going to the mat saying that all this taxpayer dollars, millions of that Donald Trump should profit millions and millions of dollars off his own living somewhere, off his own security. So I'm sorry, I went off, but it's important. By the, I'm going to give that number, by the way, 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard. When we're done with the show today, you know, it's hard to be outraged about it all. It's hard to, I mean, you've got neo-Nazis marching on the one hand. You've got health care they're trying to kill on the other hand. You've got Republicans giving up on they used to care about the deficits, but they don't when it's all about putting us in big debt to make rich people very rich. There's so many things to fight. But you just got to pick one. You got to pick one and go for it. Anyway, I went off. Finish what you were saying, Reggie.
Oh, yeah, I think that all the White House stuff should get paid also, too, as well. And I think his family should be cut off and far away from the White House,
it's true.
Too. You know?
I hear you.
I said they should be cut off and be far away from the White House, his family, that is. And the White House staff, all the White House staff, should be paid in full for a hard day's work.
Yep. I hear you. Well, thanks for your call, Reggie. I appreciate it. Let me go to Old Faithful, Michael, line 5 in the Bronx, New York. Hey, Michael, how are you, sir?
Hey, good buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right.
So my idea, and one thing that I do is I continue to keep praying, breathing deep, and just keep on spreading the message. Because I'm all about, well, you know me by now, Mark.
I do.
I'm all about equality, truth, and justice, and I keep speaking on it till the day I die. At the same time, I know there are those that have voted for Trump or some scoundrel GOPs, but I also recall that there comes a time when some of those voters, as we have heard time and again, they become remorseful. And it's like it comes down to where, you know, I told you guys about how this person was, and then now you see it. And so my message is that I'm not going to say I hate to tell you so, but I told you so. But the thing is, now we got to get together, combine each other's inner strength, not just physically, but emotionally as well, because we all are seeing the truth.
I tell you, though, it's difficult, Michael. First of all, nobody likes to hear I told you so. So
no, I would never do that.
Right. So that's not necessarily the best way to get it around. But also, I mean, you know, it's interesting. His Phoenix speech, which was, you know, perfect Donald Trump. He's attacking the media. He's attacking minorities. He's attacking immigrants. He's attacking everybody. And, oh, my God, the real harm in Charlottesville was not the death of Heather Heyer and the two police officers. It was Donald Trump. He's the one who suffered the most. And it was disgusting. Was... But here's what happened.
Yeah.
His own followers, his own Trumpists, the rabid people supporting him started to leave. It's interesting. If you read the Washington Post talking about the rally.
I was about to bring that up because I had conversation with one person that was supporting Trump throughout this time. And then now he has lost complete faith and confidence in them. And he's a conservative blogger, columnist, and a conservative host. You know who I'm talking of?
I don't, but I've seen it happen among many Republicans.
I'll give you his name.
Okay.
Armstrong Williams.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yep, I had a conversation with him yesterday on his show, and he was echoing the things that we were been echoing. It's like, to me, I'm not, like I said, I would never say, I hate to tell you so, but I told you so. That's not me. The way I feel, miracles never cease. And there comes a time that people will realize what the truth is. Some it takes longer for some, but
I'll tell you, I know it's really hard to be a black conservative these days. There was a really moving moment that I did catch on CNN that I'm sure you can catch on YouTube. I don't know if you saw it, where the young African American man who'd been supporting Trump from the get-go all along. Broke into tears and basically just said he can't do it anymore. He's a conservative. He believes in conservative principles. But these are my words, not his. Basically, when the president's wacko, when the president's gone off the rails, he just can't defend him anymore. And we need people, I guess, to come. You know, like you said, you can lead the horse to water, but they have to drink. We can't.
Before I go, can I make one statement and pledge to anybody that's listening, especially a right winger that is now having second thoughts? If we ever cross paths, I'll be the first to extend my hand and friendship and even give you guys a hug for comfort, you know?
I appreciate that. Thanks for your call, Michael. I'm going to take another break, folks. If you want to join in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We come back, I want to talk a little bit more about it, really not about Hillary Clinton per se, though you're welcome to chat. I would like to know what you think she should have done. But in general, when you're faced with sexual harassment in the workplace or anywhere else, how do you fight back? We'll get to that after the break.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The vast majority of survivors of domestic violence and sexual violence tell no one about their attacks, or at least no one in authority. Oftentimes they tell close family and friends. Sometimes they tell no one at all. Most people harassed in the workplace, sexually harassed in the workplace, tell no one. They are embarrassed. They never tell their boss. They might tell close family and friends. What should Hillary Clinton have done? Here's a very strong woman. Should she have turned around to Donald Trump in the second debate and said, "Back off, you creep," or maybe not use the word creep? "Hey, back off. I know you like to intimidate women. You will not intimidate me." I kind of like the line. But we all know how aggressive women are attacked. Of course, the irony is men interrupt women far more than women interrupt men. Men are more aggressive in the workplace. But somehow when a woman is aggressive or raises her voice or talks back to a man, all kinds of sexist things are said. I guess people think of their mothers scolding them. What should she have done? What could she have done? What would have been politically right for her to do? I think we can all empathize with what she wanted to do. What should she have done? 888-488-MARK. John, line 3, Seattle. What should Hillary have done?
Hi. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, with what Hillary should have done... I don't know if she should have necessarily said, you know, "you creep," but I wish she had turned around and acknowledged him there. Maybe said, you know, is there a problem back there? Or what would have been better would been like what Bush did to Al Gore in the 2000s debate.
Give a look.
When Al Gore walked right up to him and was staring at him. And Bush just looked over and nodded to him like, hi there, you know, kind of. And it made Gore look very foolish in what he had done. So
if she had done that, and again, some of this is gender dynamics. If she had, I don't know, turned around and said, I don't know, excuse me, or it's my turn, or can you back up a bit? Give me a little room here, or I don't know. A nod didn't seem like the right answer. But whatever it is, do you think that the American people, and I don't mean people who already supported Hillary or really people who already supported Trump, but those few in the middle, those who hated both of them, those undecided, how would that have been viewed, in your view, by the middle voter, the independent?
I think the middle voter would have... I think they would have liked that because it was very obvious how he was invading her space and making faces behind her. And I think they would have liked her for doing that.
What if she had said, you know, Donald, we can all see you making faces behind my back. You know, if you don't like what I'm saying, on your turn, just say what you want to say. You don't have to. The thing is... Again, I'm already giving you, I think, probably what the wrong answer is. But, you know, my thought is you don't have to act like a child, but I guess she can't say that out loud. But she has to imply it. She has to say, you know, grown-ups don't do this. But I guess she can't say that either. I don't know. I find the same trouble with in my own political career or with Fox people who are sometimes unfair to me, some of the right-wing people they bring on. You know, it's always a question of how far you talk back. But there was a gender dynamic there, though. I think you'll agree.
Right.
Yeah. I tell you, I want to get to one more caller just before we end the program. So thank you for calling, John. Let's go to Diane, line 4 in Albuquerque. Hey, Diane, we only got about a minute left. What would you have done?
I worked in network television for many, many years as a stage manager.
Okay.
And I'm from the theater, and I'm not shy. And when I watched what he was doing, I decided there were two reasons. He's very camera conscious, and he wanted to stay on camera the entire time, as well as intimidate her. And I felt that the anchor should have said something.
Okay, but they
didn't. Their
job. Fair enough, Diane, but they didn't. And you're in that situation. What would you do? What if Hillary Clinton came to you and said, if he does this to me, what would you counsel her to do? Yeah.
I would have turned around and looked at him. Not put my hands on my hips, because that would have been, as you said, like mommy scolding him.
Just a look. Just a look like stop mid-sentence and just turn around and kind of look at him like, what are you doing here? That kind of thing?
Yeah,
maybe non-verbally.
You've had your time in the sun. It's my turn.
Okay, and you think that people in the middle would have appreciated that and not gone after
her? I don't know that I care. She already won by 3 million points.
That's true.
She was already ahead. I think she would have been loudly applauded, maybe by some of the women who ended up voting for him.
She certainly would have been loudly applauded by me. Thank you, Diane. I'm afraid our time is up. I hope you enjoyed the show, folks. I'll be back at my ordinary time on Monday. Until then, get involved.